Chapter 6. Peter van der Walt was a merchant of death. As the former head of South Africa's EWP, or Experimental Weapons Program under apartheid, van der Walt had been overseer of such horrific experiments as human chemical sterilization through food additives, the spread of toxic airborne plagues and biological weapons in public areas, and the introduction of chemical weapons into the population in liquid form. Nuclear, chemical, biological, auditory, electrical, if it could be used to kill, van der Walt and his team built it, bought it, or designed it themselves. Their classified trials showed that a combination of agents, judiciously applied, could be used to sicken or kill thousands of the black South African population within 36 hours. Further studies detailed that within a week, 99% of the unprotected population from the Tropic of Capricorn South, or half the entire tip of Africa, would eventually perish. For his work, van der Walt received an award and a cash bonus of 2 months' salary. Without long-range delivery systems, such as ICBMs or SCUD, and with only a limited air force to call upon, van der Walt and his team had perfected methods of introducing the death agents into the population, then had them spread by the victims themselves. The name of the game had been seeding the water supplies, allowing the wind to carry the plague, or using tank trucks or artillery shells for dispersal. EWP had been masters at the game, but as soon as apartheid ended, they were quickly and secretly disbanded, and van der Walt and the other scientists were left to fend for themselves. Many of them took their payoffs and retired, but a few, like van der Walt, offered their specialized skills and knowledge on the open market, where an increasingly violent world was interested in their unique talents. Countries in the Middle East, Asia, and South America had sought his counsel and expertise. Van der Walt had only one rule. He didn't work for free. "You got a piece of that one," van der Walt said easily. A light breeze was blowing from the tea box toward the hole. The temperature wasn't even 80 degrees. The air was as dry as a bag of flour and as clear as a pane of glass. "The breeze helped," Halifax Hickman said, as he walked back to the cart and slid his club into the bag, then walked to the front and climbed into the driver's seat. There were no caddies on the course, nor any other golfers. There was just a team of security men that drifted in and out of the trees and brush, a couple of ducks in the lake, and a skinny, dusty red fox that had scampered across the fairway earlier. It was strangely quiet, with the air holding memories of the year nearly past. "So," van der Walt said, "you must really hate these people." Hickman stepped on the accelerator, and the cart lurched forward down the fairway to their distant balls. "I'm paying you for your knowledge, not for psychoanalysis." Van der Walt nodded and stared down at the photograph again. "If that's what you think it is," he said quietly, "you have a gem. The radioactivity is very high, and it is extremely dangerous in solid or powdered form. You have a variety of options." Hickman pressed on the brakes as the cart approached van der Walt's ball. Once the cart had stopped, the South African climbed from his seat, walked around to the rear and removed a club from his bag, then approached his ball and lined up to take a shot. After a pair of practice swings, he stopped and concentrated, then made a smooth, arcing swing at the ball. The ball blasted from the club head, gaining altitude as it traveled. A little over 100 yards distant, it dropped to the grass less than 10 yards from the green, just missing the sand trap.
"So a powdered form introduced from the air would do the trick?"
Hickman asked as van der Walt climbed back into his seat.
"Provided you could get a plane anywhere near the site."
"Do you have a better idea?"
Hickman said as he accelerated away toward his ball.
"Yes," van der Walt said, "striking at the heart of your enemies. But it will cost you."
"Do you think," Hickman asked, "that money is a problem?"